And I'm Amber.
And this is
Waking Up the Witch.
We're your neighborhood witches. Each week, we talk about all things witchy and connect with other humans in a storytelling format about navigating life on this floating rock.
We're two curious ladies trying to understand the human experience. But while we do that, we think it's important to honor the people that lived here before us and honor the cultures and traditions that we're being inspired by.
This podcast is about waking up the witch, which means we are learning and growing every day. That being said, we are always open to feedback on how we can do better.
The views and opinions of our guests don't necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Waking Up the Witch.
Now, let's go, ghouls! What's up, Amber?
Hello, hello from Southern Oregon. I can't talk. I tried. You're tuned in to WUTW from Southern Oregon.
I was listening to our intro for one of the other episodes because we were going to put it out today, and we're just funny.
I'm glad we are.
We're stupid, but I love it.
Yeah, stupid then.
Stupid is stupid does.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm so good. Okay, so today I paid my last full month's rent at this house.
Yay!
I have paid $32,000 in rent.
Holy fuck!
At
this year.
Yeah, this year.
Ugh.
At this home. I survived.
That's so much money.
Almost all of it by myself. I would say everything besides like 2 months I did by myself. And I survived. And I feel so happy to be finished with it.
Literally. And
we are moving a little bit out of town. It's on a little piece of property and it's on this little hill, and you walk out the front door and you just look right at Mount McLaughlin. Mm. And it's only, you know, 20 minutes from like Medford town and city, and it's going to be $500 a month.
That's so nice.
And I'm basically going to be rich.
I'm so excited for you guys to get back on your feet and just like
out of survival mode.
Yeah. That's going to be so nice, yeah. Especially getting into this next phase of Goldie's life and parenthood. Like, you'll actually be able to feel like you can do some shit together.
Yeah. And business is just like always growing and getting better. There was like a time where I was, I went from the one salon, then I went to Grants Pass, mm-hmm. and then I came back to Medford, and then I was on maternity leave for 4 months. Yeah. So some people definitely fell off of my schedule. And so I'm like refilling my books, but it's getting a lot more consistent. And so in the fall, I'm going to open up an extra day, and yay. I look forward to not just being so fucking broke. I was looking up flights to Dublin, like Ireland, and they're like $600 round trip.
That's so crazy.
Which it literally cost me more to fly home.
Yeah, that's pretty fucked up.
And so I would like, if we pay off a lot of stuff, I would love to take my family there for Kurt's birthday.
That would be so awesome for you guys. And yeah. So beautiful, and probably a really pretty time of year to go to.
It's also like, how's this election going to go? Am I going to come home? Because like, I really feel pulled. I talk so much shit all the time about moving out of this country and like, will I ever? Who knows? But I feel pulled to Portugal, and I've never been to Portugal. Mm. And so you can get a flight from Ireland to Portugal for like $50, and then from Portugal to Spain for like $20, and Spain to Italy for like $20. So if we took like even 2 or 3 weeks, it would cost us less than a month's rent in this fucking house.
That's so awesome. Well, all the money you're about to save on rent alone is really going to help you guys be able to have like a nice cushion to go actually explore and enjoy yourself and be able to hop around. Mm-hmm. That's going to be fucking sick.
And I want to do stuff before I pay for a third fucking ticket for my kids. So
when does that change?
I think when they're 2 years old, then you have to buy them another ticket. Okay. But I have to get her a passport. And when I've seen people get passports for their baby, they like put a white sheet over the parent and the parent like yeah. holds the baby out. And it's just really funny.
Ghost mom.
Yeah. So, cute. So I feel like there's something shifting, something changing. My stars are just doing something. And
it is changing.
I've had like a lot of different feelings about work lately, but I'm just very much in the I need to keep my head down and stay out of my own head. I think that I'm starting to get in this like nitpicky place that I go all the time because I just always think that I can do everything better than anyone else when it comes to what I'm doing.
I mean, you are amazing at what you do, and there's no one else here
yeah.
who does what you do or can do what you do.
I agree. And so it's
you're
like,
not wrong.
What are my priorities? Is my priority to have that workspace where I'm like growing and creating an environment for myself and others? Or is my priority to like just do my work, keep my head down, and spend my money on like a nice home for my family and like vacations for my family? Like, where am I at? And maybe I'm just like, while Curtis is still in college, I should just go to work, accept it for what it is, because it really is like a good environment that I'm allowed to do whatever I want in, and it's almost zero overhead.
Yeah.
So I'm just processing out loud, but that's kind of like where I'm at with that. And I've just been feeling it really strongly lately and like having really vivid visions of what my space would look like and like how it would operate. And I don't think I need to quiet that, but maybe just like start writing it down and dreaming into it and just like having it sit in the background for a little bit.
Yeah, I feel like both are possible right now, and eventually like you'll get to have the other both of having your own space again and creating that space for creativity and everything you want to create while also having a nice home and going on vacation. Like, I think that's so a part of your future.
Well, yeah, when we're not a single income household too, which again, I feel so fucking lucky that I've been able to carry my family through this time and that Curtis can stay home with her and that we're avoiding childcare and just all of these things. But again, like if we ever wanted to move out of the country, like that dream dies with me there. Like I don't even know that I want to continue to do hair outside of the US. So it's just like, you know, a lot to think about. But we'll see how this fucking November goes. It's gonna be really bad either way, no matter what happens. So but maybe we talked about this today. You can't heal if you don't break. And so maybe we need to completely break this system in order to like heal as a society.
Yeah.
But that's also wishful thinking. We could just turn into Handmaid's Tale and it just, you know.
I feel like we're always waiting for that revolution here, like my entire adult life. And as someone who's been able to vote for almost 20 years, that is crazy. Just having that realization.
You're old.
Actually, 20 years. Blah, I am old. Okay, sorry. Having a midlife crisis right now. Yeah, like we really have been waiting for that revolution in our generation for so long. And what the fuck does it take to get to that?
Like, there was hope at one point.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. It was a proud moment in my time. But fuck. Yeah, I woke up a little mind blown and pissed off about some shit like that today. And just seeing that our, what you fucking call it?
I don't know.
Hold on. Pause.
Edit.
My brain is so mad I can't even think of what the fuck it's called. SCOTUS. What the fuck are they called?
President?
No.
Oh, Supreme Court.
Supreme Court. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Back in. Waking up this morning and discovering that the Supreme Court had granted immunity to fucking Trump. And, like, in such a dangerous way that the things I was reading, apparently, he can have a hit on his opponent and be granted immunity for it. That's pretty fucking mind-blowing to me how drastic that is and how he's... I mean, it was really exciting because literally, like... He was being held accountable for some other shit not too long ago, a couple weeks ago, and was like, holy fuck, finally. And then seeing that happen today with the Supreme Court, I was like,
They're all his fucking buddies.
They are his buddies. Yeah. It's so crazy. So, yeah, whatever. Who knows what's going to happen?
I don't like either option.
No,
I don't think
anybody does. No one does.
But there's definitely...
That's how it always is. That's the problem.
of... Two evils, but that's still evil.
Yeah.
End of the day.
We're still choosing evil. But, like, what choice do we have? I don't know.
But also, like, whoever is an option for president is just there because of money and, like, how much money they have gotten people to donate them. So, whoever we ever have is not a good option. Like, we aren't, this country's not run on what they tell us it is.
Nope. Something's got to break, and yeah, like you were saying, maybe it takes something super extreme.
This might be scary. What puts me in prison. But like,
let's go burn it down.
I'll go. Just tell me where to be. I'm not gonna like start the revolution, but I'll come.
I don't know what my role is.
She's like, I'm consent to anything she just said.
The views and opinions of my host are not necessarily the views and opinions of my. But no, I feel the sentiment. Like, I get it. Yeah. And it's like, what the fuck do we do? Anyways, this is not a political podcast, but we do have some fucking opinions about our real life and what we have to be exposed to and deal with. And it's not fucking right. They're too fucking old. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Where are the next beings that can, you know, come in with a fresh mind?
We need women.
Yeah, we need more women.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Anyways.
Not crotchety old ones either.
If you move away out of country, I'll miss you, but I will be so excited for you because...
Yeah.
For so many reasons.
Yeah. And just Curtis, like... Getting a degree in something that can be done virtually would give us a lot of freedom.
Hell yeah.
Things. So
hell yeah.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens in the future. I'm just trying to remain present and breathe and do what I can as one single individual.
Keep your community tight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm creating ripples in other ways. And so we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Word.
Yep.
Anything else you want to add as an update?
I think I could kind of officially say this now.
Just say it, and if you need it cut, we'll cut it out.
I mean, it's happening now, so I think it's fine. My husband has left the company that he's worked with that helped bring us out to Oregon, and he's doing his own company now, and semi-partnering with them, so they still have like a really good, healthy, amazing relationship, and the owner of that company's actually been fucking fantastic through this whole process and really like helping Mark find a solution that's going to work for him and supporting him through that change. It's like better than we could have even ever hoped for or wished for, because things were starting to really get like painful and toxic and like uncertain, and yeah, it's been like shit's been real tight for us financially, which it's been a long time since I've felt the anxiety of that, which I'm grateful for. Because I've like grew up in my whole 20s, like living paycheck to paycheck. And it's hard to live in a nervous system with that kind of stress. And I know that that's just like regular for most people. And it's mm-hmm. been regular for me most of my life. And this opportunity with the job that he's been working has given us some buffer. And like being able to sell our house in Colorado gave us a lot of buffer. But now we're back down to scraping by. And so I'm excited. The future still is a bit uncertain because, you know, starting your own company it takes a lot of resources and time and energy. And yeah, so, but I have like really, really high hopes that I think are realistic of like what's possible. And it's exciting because even through like all of this transition and everything that we've been going through, like personally with that, it's like he is still very much encouraging of like continuing doing my work that I'm doing and wanting to pour more into that. Like he still very much believes in the possibilities of Moonbees and what's being created there. And like all the things that we've been dreaming up that we want to do. And the cool thing is too, like his company that he was working for had been subleasing half of our space where my physical business is at. And so we just gained all this extra space this past week, which is so exciting because I've literally been manifesting this, like dreaming up like whenever they move out, here's the things that we can do. And like now that time is here. And of course, it's like at a time where it's like, am I going to be able to pay my rent though this month? And of course, like, of course I can. And this is something like advice for myself and also advice for the listener. And maybe I've said it before, but looking back on your life, when you're in these moments of like stress and constriction, where you're like, I don't know how I'm going to survive. I don't know how I'm going to get to the next month. Like, I guarantee every single person listening has had moments in their life like that in the past that they can look back on and see how everything fucking worked out for them and maybe even better than they could have imagined. And that's just what I keep trying to remind myself of is like, you've lived in fight or flight like most of your life actually. And look at everything that has happened that is beautiful and has been surprising even of like where it led you and who knows what's like around the corner through this like uncomfortable moment in our life right now. Like everything's always working out for me. I'm really fucking lucky and I deserve good things and new opportunities are always presenting themselves to me.
I mean, you literally have like your dream business.
I'm doing it.
You're doing
it. I'm fucking doing it. And like even if that feels a little like tight and scary and how I'm gonna afford it, like I'm here, I'm doing it right now. Like and I think just remembering that for yourself, if you also find yourself in situations like that, having gratitude for your present moment, how far your life has gotten you, even if it's hard to really grasp and like pull on something to be grateful for, I guarantee you have three things you can sit with to have gratitude for and know that you have always been taken care of and everything is always working out for you.
Yeah.
And remind yourself of that because you need to breathe and we're going to be okay.
I've said this before on here, but like naming out, like looking at your life from an outsider's perspective mm-hmm. and being like, oh, I am living in Southern Oregon with a husband that loves me mm-hmm. and like I have my own business and like you start saying all these things, you're like, damn, I really have it all. Yeah. Like I'm good.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's kind of where I've been, is just in that like trying not to fall in the like place of I'm fucked and screwed and nothing is gonna happen, because I know that that's just a spiral I will not go down. And really leaning more into like the gratitude and like, I've been asking for this and here I am. Like all the things that are happening right now, we've been asking for and
they're here. Hashtag stay delusional.
Yeah. So I'm excited. Like that means I get to like connect with other people more and have space to offer events to the community that, like, I can have other people come in and host their magic. And that's, like, really what, like, for lack of a better term, this is just what's coming to me is, like, I've been brewing up this magic of, like, connecting with community. Like, my whole first year and a few months in business in a physical location has been, like, creating community and connection and inspiring others to follow their magic and helping others see, like, what is their magic and how they can present that. And there's so many people that's like, I see so much potential in, and they just, like, don't know how to start. And I am being a place for people that I connect with and have a vibration with, of course, like, but where they can come in and start to share those pieces of themselves with others. And it's creating, like, such a magical vortex of beautiful energy where more people are coming in and feeling attracted to that and wanting to be a part of. And I just feel really proud of what Moonbees has actually become. And it's far greater than I could have ever imagined. When we were first, like, in that space and recording there and putting up the wallpaper. And it's like, you helped birth the physical piece of Moonbees with me. And I'm so grateful for that. Like, your energy is so infused in that, and your ability to fucking manifest shit and make dreams a reality. Like, that exists. Like, that is part of Moonbees, her essence and who she is as a
entity. I want to show up for her more.
You will, and you do, like, on ways that maybe you don't realize. And so I'm really grateful for that. I'm grateful for you, and I'm excited to see, like, what the fuck we get to create there and the maybe magic we get to
write up a pull. Class.
Hell yeah, please do.
Rent your space.
And, like, maybe we can do something together, like we always used to talk about. You know, it's like, we can create so much. So, yeah, I'm excited for whatever is next there at that space. And yesterday I did Rebecca Campbell's online Akashic Records attunement. So I'm excited to, like, kind of start to see how I get to play with the Akashic Records and how I get to use that and how that's unique for me, because that's the cool thing about practitioners, everything that we do, like, it's infused with your own magic and your own toolbox. So it's always going to look different, like, practitioner to practitioner.
I want that.
So I'm fucking stoked. I have some work to do, but I am excited to see, like, what gets birthed. It's definitely, like, another piece of the puzzle that I've been wanting to embrace and step into for probably as long as it's been that I started learning Reiki. So it feels like a full circle moment. And yeah, shit's happening. Like, so much is
around
the corner for us. So I'm excited. And
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. I'm proud of you too.
I'm proud of Mark.
We've come a long way, all of us. I'm proud of Curtis. And Curtis is editing our podcast right now and doing such an amazing job. And he has no background in it. He's just making it happen.
I just knew he'd do that. He's so smart.
He's so smart.
He cut out the part where I was like, this is produced by my beautiful, wonderful, smart husband. And it just says, my husband. But he's not going to listen to this part, maybe. Just leave it. Let me compliment you.
Yes. That's probably the hard part of being on that side, is, like, analyzing things in that way. So, Anyways,
our guest today is local. And so if you are local to Southern Oregon, you can definitely experience some of her magic. I met her probably, I'm thinking, like, around when she moved to Southern Oregon. And I knew she was an herbalist, but I didn't know everything I learned today, which is why this podcast is so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just a badass. For sure. So yeah. Smart, so knowledgeable, just, like, a really giving back to her community in so many ways. We were lucky to experience some of her magic.
Yeah, I feel so inspired after talking to her, and, like, we took a little break before recording this, and I feel that way with, like, so many of our guests. Just every time we get to talk with somebody and hear their story and learn about their magic, like, I just feel so alive and so infused with so much gratitude and excitement and curiosity. And yeah, I'm like, oh yeah, you just reignited like a love that I have for herbs that I was starting to explore that just kind of got pushed to the side. Same. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go play with my herbs now.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, while we were talking, I'm like, I'm going to get out some of my kitchen wood books.
Fuck yeah.
I also just can't wait for Goldie to be old enough to, like, where we want to play in the kitchen together and, like, do all these things. Because right now it's kind of like, okay, what can I do to distract you while I try to make a meal before you have a meltdown?
Yeah.
So, like, I can't wait for her to, like, and we can, you know, talk about it as it is magic. And I can learn with her. And I feel like I'm just going to learn so many things as she grows up, too.
Totally. I love that so much. Yeah, we hope you enjoy this lovely conversation.
Yeah, enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Enjoy. Bitches.
Go ahead and close your eyes if that feels good. And plant your feet on the ground and we'll take three deep grounding breaths together to seal in this beautiful container. Take a deep breath in. And exhale. Another deep breath in. And release. One more big breath in. And release, grounding you into your body and into your space and into the earth. I welcome in our higher selves and our spiritual teams to join us today. Please wrap us in a loving bubble of love and healing energy for this beautiful container, allowing for whatever is meant to be received and heard today to be of the highest light and the highest good for all involved and concerned. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Needed that. Well, welcome, welcome to our lovely guest, Dana. Please introduce yourself and tell us who you are.
Hello, my name is Dana Aronson, and I have a background in herbalism, specifically clinical herbalism, as well as mobile first aid, herbal first aid, and wellness clinics as well. So those are some of my biggest things that show up for me as of recent. Yeah.
So cool. Thanks for being here with us.
Yeah. How about you start from the beginning and telling us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, totally. Thank you. I was born and raised in and around the Bay Area. So I was a coastal kid growing up. I was raised in Santa Cruz, California, and I loved it there. I had the ocean, I had the redwoods, I had short drives to the mountains, short drive to the desert, well, kind of short drive to the desert. But yeah, just growing up in California in general, there was like a lot of biodiversity, and I was very fortunate that I had one of my parents who loved the outdoors, who loved camping, and that was very much a part of my world growing up. And I just remember being a kid, just loving it so, so much. Like, I was just so excited every time we would take a weekend and go camp, you know, which, you know, if it was in the forest or if it was at a lake or even like a family camp style thing. I just loved being in nature. I loved being able to explore and just kind of be in new settings. And then partially like vacation, right?
Yeah.
And so I think really that my father really did like kind of do these things early on that really formed my experience and my relationship with nature that did, you know, over time get me to where I'm at today. And yeah, I feel very fortunate for him.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's so great. I've heard Santa Cruz is amazing. Always wanted to visit there.
Yeah. It's a really special place. And you know, I think with any town or big city has pros and cons to it.
Of course.
But of course it's home for me, and my mom's been there for a really long time. And so it just, you know, it feels good to go visit and set back in for the time that I can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I don't live in California anymore. I now live in Southern Oregon, but I've only been here for about 4 years, but pretty much my whole life was in and around the Bay Area. And yeah, I feel like my journey kind of weaved and kind of, it, you know, I think some people are like, plants have just been like a part of my world ever since the day I was born. And I didn't have, other than like being in nature, like my parents mm-hmm. were very, you know, like I grew up in the 90s. And so yeah. like I was very, and like, you know, I was very much like drink your milk at dinner and like some yes. hamburger helper here and like oh some like gosh. Canned broccoli mm-hmm. here and like no shame or like judgment yeah, to my parents, no. but you know.
Same, same, same.
Yeah, we were not like an herbal type of family. My mom.
That's so funny. Yeah. I just have to tell the story. It's Please. Like you said, canned broccoli and my sister growing up, like I ended up like working in natural foods like since my early 20s. And
yeah.
I took her into like a natural grocer's at one time. She's like, ooh, what's this? Like all in the produce section, like so amazed at
yeah.
all the different types of vegetables that we'd never had. And like she holds up a bunch of spinach and she's like, what's this? And I was like,
yeah,
that is spinach. And she's like, oh, I thought it came in a can.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is just such like a part of who like how we were raised, yeah. you know, my poor sister, like
totally.
Just so naive.
Yeah. I didn't even get canned vegetables.
A long time ago, but
right.
No.
Yeah. yeah. Hamburger helper for life.
Yeah, right. Like both of my parents worked full time. I was a daycare kid. Like, you know, mm-hmm. we didn't have a lot of like extra time
yeah.
to like be at home all day cooking. And my parents were, you know, did what they can. And I also grew up, my dad lived in Watsonville, which is in Santa Cruz County, but that's kind of the start of the agricultural line down Central California. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there were things that we would get at like the fruit stand or the yeah. little market, like on the side of the road. But yeah, so there
Lots
was just
like, easy foods.
Totally. There was like a lot yeah. of interplay with that. It wasn't just like strictly one thing, but
yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I wouldn't say that like herbalism was much of my childhood per se outside mm-hmm. of kind of that nature camping aspect. My mom definitely was not an outdoorsy type of gal. And so, yeah, I went to school in, you know, I was raised going to school in Santa Cruz and I studied, communications and American Sign Language, which was like not
oh, cool.
any herbal anything, which I really loved
That's
and
such
enjoyed.
A great, yeah, tool to have though.
Yeah, yeah. So I ended up moving to the Bay Area when I was 22 and finished my sign language degree there. And cool. had like a huge interpreter program to go through, which I didn't go through because I found herbs and I found myself in this herb shop and it like blew my mind that I was like, all right, path diverted, like not going to be an interpreter. Like, here we go down the plant route.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like what was that feeling for you? Like walking in, was it like just discovery or ooh, what's yeah. this? Or like, I feel at home.
It was like, it wasn't planned. I just like got out of school early and 2 weeks before I got fired from a yoga studio. And I was like, my soul was crushed. I was like, I've never been fired before. Like, and so I just walked into this herb shop because it just like looked cool from the outside or, you know, intriguing from the outside. And I walked in and there were just like herbs all over the walls and this really like spunky woman, you know, it was just like very interactive. And I was, yeah, just kind of blown away. She was like talking about a lot of like what was in the store and just happened to mention like, oh, we're hiring if you know anyone.
Oh,
and I was amazing. Like, well, I now am looking for something, but I don't know anything about any of this. Mm-hmm. And she was just like, it's all good. Like, I will help teach you. She was an herbalist back in Australia.
Wow.
Cool.
And so it just kind of fell in my lap. I wasn't really searching for it other than I knew I needed to get a job ASAP.
I love that for you.
Yeah, yeah. She just like opened up her arms and she was like really, she was like, I would say my first true like herbal mentor. She was just so supportive and in like giving me books and like she, you know, carved out time when I go to work, like she'd carve out some of like my work time to like dive in on a plant a day. And wow. just really cultivated that space where I could learn and have the time to learn like outside of work. Yeah. Yeah. I was really grateful for her. And still am. The herb shop's still open and going strong in the Bay. So it's cool to see them. Yeah. Keep on keeping on. And yeah, when I, you know, once I started working and being face to face with people coming in and they were expressing how herbs were really, you know, shifting their ailments or their way of being, and kind of that self-discovery. And then Naomi was her name. She, when I first got hired, she like picked all these things off the wall and she was like, here, take these home. This is homework. Like brew these teas, eat these like herbal powders, like try these capsules and just like have fun. And when I started doing like using those plants, I really did see a shift in myself and I was like, huh, there's definitely something to this.
Like what kind of shift?
I was, so before I moved to the Bay, I was there was like a lot of shifts that were happening kind of unexpectedly, where like my father got really sick and ended up passing, and so that was like, yeah, that's yeah, just you know what life threw at me, and you know, it kind of, I was struggling with a lot of like low energy and fatigue and grieving, and I wasn't, you know, I didn't know at the time, but I wasn't really eating properly in the ways that like my body needed, and there were a few things going on with like my boyfriend at the time and also my brother, and so it just all kind of, you know, was spiraling there. And so once I kind of got a little grounded within myself, my plan was to move earlier, but because my dad got sick, I stuck around a little bit longer than intended. But I was like struggling with a lot of brain fog and fatigue. And part of that shifting in that herb shop, taking those herbs, I started gaining back like less fatigue, less feeling tired all the time. Having more like stable energy. And when that started kind of like building up day after day, I was like, wow, I feel like a different, you know, I was like, I wasn't waking up and being like, oh, can I please sleep for another like 12 hours?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Unfortunately, a lot of like we don't heal if there's nothing to heal from. So it's like we don't usually go searching for these other remedies if we're just like perfectly happy and everything's going great.
Yeah, totally. And I think like, you know, being in the herb world for over 10 years and like, I think there's like this kind of false narrative of like, you like get to this like pivotal health. You know, like once you get to this pivotal health, like you have made it. And, you know, in my belief, I don't think that's actually real. I think that's a false narrative where it's like we can find and experience those peaks of health or wellness, whatever that, you know, however you identify with those terms. But we're always shifting. We're always in this ebb and flow, and it's more of a practice than like an end result. Like we're always, you know, ideally we're trying to get to those places of like homeostasis in the body, but just because we reach it doesn't mean it's going to be there for the rest of our lives and now like the work's done, you know?
Yeah.
I think social media is a big part of that too. There's so much bullshit all the time and just like the misinformation and the crunchiness can be a little intense
for sure
in every direction, and a lot of it, I don't know, is not even real, and maybe like one thing worked for one person but then people are grasping at straws and then thinking there is this like destination to get to, but really it's just like what can you do regularly to like be better, I guess.
Yeah, totally. I think social media really activates and shows the best part of ourselves, which is part of us, and kind of this like false reality that we just live in this like rainbow and butterfly type of like life all the time. And I think that can be discouraging, especially if folks are struggling, you know, they're like, well, there's like a lot of comparison there.
Yeah.
And then that can only, you know, it doesn't help, you know, mentally and in this way of like, yeah, it just seems unobtainable because it is, because we aren't perfect. And yeah. And then with like, I think herbalism and herbs and plants are so nuanced, and unfortunately like 120 words on your Instagram post or however many for Twitter, is just not going to suffice. Like it gives you such a small glimpse, and the relationship is so much deeper. And so, you know, I'm on social media. I use social media, but also like I didn't
it's
grow
free
up.
Marketing.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. And I didn't grow up with social media, you know, like I did not have smartphones when I was growing up. And so I feel like I do a semi okay job distinguishing, you know, navigating that social media. But for people that have, it's a little harder to, I think, people take that social media post at face value. And, you know, I think that can be really beautiful sometimes, but then that can also hinder this big, deep nuance of what plants are and relationship and work are. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
So you were working at the herb shop.
Yeah. So I worked at the herb shop for like 5 or 6 years. And they got to a point where, you know, outside of my own healing, and outside of just like being able to see people come back and like every day or multiple times a week or once a month and getting to have them share their experiences, that was a very like real thing that I was experiencing. It felt like, you know, we can all read things in a book and Google search things and like we can, you know, pick apart some information and digest it. But it's like when you're actually living it and you're actually seeing it one-on-one with someone, it does something different, or at least it did for me. Where I was like, wow, this is like so crazy. And when I was working at the herb shop, one of my friends who also worked there was like, hey, have you ever heard of this like low-cost herb clinic in Berkeley? And I was like, no, tell me about it. And she was like, well, it's an herb school and a low-cost clinic, and you can see student clinicians, and it's, you know, it's pretty inexpensive. You should check it out. Because, you know, there were herbs that were helping me, but I still were struggling with like some other things. And so I ended up making an appointment and walking into this herbal brick, beautiful space that was like very homely and like very like small and quaint, but just like had this vibe and like feel to it. And I was just like blown away. I was like, what is this place? How can I be a part of this? What is going on here? I want all the information. So I started working with a clinic, like student clinic herbalist. And that really did change. Like I would say like that moment in time, like definitely changed the trajectory. You know, everything builds on each other, but, I had my initial consultation was 2 hours, and like, tell me the last time you sat in your doctor's office for 2 hours.
I want that.
You know? And then just like, talking with someone face to face, like really feeling like she was really listening. And also like, she gave me the space to like really express what was going on. And we didn't just talk about like what symptom I was having. It was like, well, let's go into your family history. Let's go, like, when did this start shifting? You know, what about your mental and spiritual and emotional health? And it was just like so much different than the allopathic model that was like very symptom based, that which I grew up in, right? Something hurts, you go to the doctor. Something happens, you go to the doctor and you get prescribed whatever you get prescribed, and that's it. And I was just so taken aback by the presence of that session that I ended up seeing her for a little while. We definitely found out that's when I found out, oh, I'm not actually eating enough fat and protein to survive. And
wow.
even just that little shift outside of even the herbal formulas that were recommended to me, I was like, wow, like I never get to talk about diet in the doctor's office. Like I would have never put two and two together. And she was just like, wow, you're just like actually not eating enough. And, you know, it didn't like dawn on me that I was doing that, of course. And even shifting that changed so much for me. And so I was really appreciative of her and her guide, you know, just kind of guiding me to these things that were my blind spots. I had no idea. And then, yeah, working at the herb shop, and I did some traveling. And on my last, you know, travel stint, I just got really clear and was like, this is a long-term thing. I want to, I'm going to divert this American Sign Language thing and get onto this herbal path and take it really seriously just outside of the herb shop. And that's when I officially put myself in like what you would call like herbal school or like an herbal program in Berkeley at the Berkeley Herbal Center. And so I did a whole schooling and then a 2-year clinical internship there. And yeah, while I was in school, I was just my mind was blown every single day.
So cool.
Yeah, it was really, really cool learning a lot about different body systems, learning how to make medicine from plants, learning how to formulate, learning how to sit with plants and calm that mind down and really just be present with plants and how they can interact with us if it, you know, in a way that's different from just like talking. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really beautiful. Mm-hmm. Forever grateful.
It gives me chills. It's like at just hearing you talk about your journey to becoming a clinical herbalist. It's like you are so on the right path, and just like you walking into that herb store was just a synchronistic moment for you of like, I have arrived at my destination to where my whole life is now going to happen and change. And, you know, I get to be me.
Yeah.
It just feels like that to me for you.
Yeah. I always wonder, like, if Naomi was like, oh, you don't know much about herbs. Like, I'm sorry. I'm looking for someone that like knows their background of herbs. I was just like, yeah, I was just kind of put in the right place at the right time. And,
I'm sure it was fun for her too to like, you know, go back to basics and like watch you, like she was mentoring you and just like watching you develop and learn. And yeah, like you were saying, seeing these people coming back and hearing their stories and like not just having your own stories, but like actually seeing the difference happening in front of you.
Yeah.
Such a gift that she gave you. And like the universe just led you right there.
And yeah, I think like even within like my herbal path, and I, you know, I wasn't necessarily thinking about it in that moment of like getting hired or, you know, going in for an interview, but I just realized like through my journey with plants and finding what I really am passionate about, like as I kind of like close the scope a little bit. Like, it's like plants. Okay. That's like the overarching umbrella, but like, what about plants? Is it clinical work? Is it first aid? And I found that for myself, anytime I could say yes to something that was like even minorly intriguing, I really felt like that was helpful for me to gain clarity of what I was passionate about.
Yeah.
And if I loved it, great, keep going with it. And if I didn't, great, don't go back and don't do it again. Like, it's all good. And that's really where I found first aid. And like acute herbal first aid and mobile clinics. Similar thing. I was like, I know a lot about plants, but I've never worked in a first aid setting per se, or like a clinic, like a mobile clinic setting. And someone was just like, I'll help you. Like, come along. Wow. And same thing. I just kind of was like very it was just very eye-opening, and I was hooked immediately. And also very blessed. And
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
I'm just interested how you got to Southern Oregon, because I do want to hear more about how like you're working in the clinic and the like mobile first aid and stuff, because you're local and that's so cool. Mm-hmm. And I like really want to know what that looks like here. But I do want to know like what brought you from California up here.
Totally. Yeah. So my first, actually my first aid wellness clinic was at a gathering in Oregon, still while I was living in the Bay, kind of Eastern Oregon. And I was doing some mobile first aid work, and like I started a wound care clinic with a dear herbalist friend of mine, Lisa, and we in Oakland. And basically how I got here to Oregon was I was living in West Oakland. My partner at the time also was living in Oakland, and he lost his housing a year prior to me starting to lose my housing. And so as I was losing my housing, since he was also born and raised in the Bay, I was in the Bay, I was just like, do we want to try something different? Like, are we a full yes in being in the Bay? And both of us just kind of looked at each other and were like, let's try something different. And so because we were kind of Bay Area folk and my family's still there, I didn't want to move too far away. And I was still very attached to the West Coast. And so our friend moved to Grants Pass for work, and he was living in, you know, a decent size house where there was like rooms available. It was just him at the time. Awesome. And he basically was like, hey, do you want to just try to come up here? And you don't have to be on the lease. I've already done the down deposit. Like, I'm already living here. Wow. You can just kind of come and feel it out. And we got there, and yeah, it was just so beautiful. And
it's so beautiful.
Just really just setting into that. And then COVID hit. So I moved up here in 2019, and then COVID hit. And
this is where you are now.
So, like, I was like, okay, I guess I'm not, like, leaving very fast. I definitely did not want to go back into a big city, at least in that moment in time. And so, yeah. So just as the time went on, I really did find myself in community here. I was able to find work here. I was able to, still wasn't far away from my family. So I was like, okay, like I can drive to see my family in 7 hours. And that was still good for me. And so, yeah, just being immersed in this type of nature and being in a place where I could have a garden, or just really even a backyard, two garden. I just started kind of thinking on like, what do I want in this phase of life and what's important to me? And little things like being able to have a backyard with even a little garden, right? Being in a space where I could potentially think about having a family and I didn't have to like hustle and grind in this way that is very prevalent, at least in my experience in the Bay Area, that is really draining for the nervous system. And so, yeah, there was just a moment in time where I was kind of thinking on all of those things, and I'm still here.
There's such a deep culture of like alternative health and healing here in Southern Oregon too. So it's just a really, really great place for that with a lot of access, like more than like most places, I would say.
I would say the mindset, the environment, right? It's very cohesive for growing food and herbs and plants and flowers and things like that. And
I even think our healthcare system is more open to small things like that are alternative, which, you know, you don't hear ever.
So true. So true. The state insurance here, which I had for the first year that I moved up here, I was blown away. I was like, oh, I can go like see an acupuncturist or, you know, see people that crack you. What is it called?
A chiropractor. Midwifery care is covered by OHP. Not everybody. It's pretty minimal, but it's definitely a thing. And you can get a doula. Like, there's so many things you can get.
It's just like, it was really cool to see that. And even if it's not like fully, you know, maybe it's not like all covered, but I feel like it's a step in the right direction.
I wish it was more accessible, because the minimum is just so low that it's hard to get on OHP.
Right.
And then you're screwed. But I I think it is amazing. And I don't think other states anywhere have anything even close to it.
Yeah, I think like that, you know, speaks to just a larger conversation of healthcare in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which could take us days. So I'm not. Right.
Want to get me fired
yeah,
up.
I'm not going to go into that too much. But yeah, I think the way we care for our society through healthcare is a big hole in our societal support. As humans.
So where are you working now?
Yeah, so I have a few, you know, pots in the fire. So when I came up here, I used to work for Berkeley Herbal Center. I started teaching there. And so when I moved up here, I, you know, more or less quit or just said, you know, I'm moving on. And because COVID hit and the in-person school was shifting to try and assess like how they're going to do this whole pandemic thing in person. The director at the time approached me and asked if I wanted to take on an online program that mirrored the in-person.
Wow. Very cool.
And so we got together. It's still through Berkeley Herbal Center, but I basically run their two-year program that mirrors their two-year in-person program. And so I I'm the academic director and also medicine making teacher. And then amazing. I also teach lecture as well, but there's a crew of us teachers. So I'm not the only teacher, but I do that part time. And then I work for a clinic in Ashland called the Madiri Center. And we are an herbal alternative clinic that focuses on cancer research and cancer care.
Wow.
And so Donnie Yance is the person who started it. Still very active in this clinic, but he's been doing cancer research and herbal support for, I don't know, probably like 20 or 30 years, like as long as I've been alive, probably. Wow. And so, we have a lot of different alternative practitioners, like herbalists, nutritionists, naturopathic doctors, and we have a whole apothecary of many, many, many plants and different varieties of plants, like different medicinal preparations of plants. And I manage their apothecary. So I just make sure that that is running smoothly. And I have a really sweet woman who works with me and she helps me fill. And we, we just did inventory. And we make medicine and stock formulas and, basically get herbal support to the people who are seen at this clinic.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that the only way to access the apothecary?
It is. Yeah. Okay. We are not open to the public. Mm-hmm. So you can either be a client or patient here, or if you are a practitioner with the credentials that we ask for, you can put in your formulas for us to fill and either send back to you or send to your clients that aren't necessarily at Madiri, but in your practice. But yeah, unfortunately, we're not just like an open face apothecary.
That's good.
And then do you just see people that are going through cancer?
No. So we actually see anyone and everyone with any health complaint. I would say most people know our clinic because of that cancer, like interface. But yeah, we see people with a lot of like chronic illness, like Lyme's or SIBO or, you know, gut stuff, things for the nervous system. I mean, it's a whole range of everything. So you don't necessarily have to have cancer to come to this clinic.
I want to come.
Yeah, come.
I know.
I don't know what's wrong with me, but
figure something out quickly and then come.
Yeah, I'll think about it.
Yeah, and so this is my main like full-time job. And then during the summer, I do mobile clinics and wellness spaces for mainly gatherings at this point.
Cool.
And I was doing a little disaster relief when we had our fires here, the Phoenix fires in 2020.
Yeah, you made me some some medicine for the smoke, and I took it every day.
Beautiful. Yeah, we were doing some like pop-up work where people were, you know, lost their everything. And they, you know, we had kind of these spots where people could come and access free medicine, free herbal support through, through donations, honestly, Wow. A lot of people just donated herbs or money or time, and we were able to just disperse that out to whoever needed it.
That's so amazing.
Yeah.
What does like first aid look like in the herbal world?
Yeah, I think first aid is really interesting because it is a way to experience herbs work very quickly, where sometimes when we have chronic long-standing ailments, sometimes it takes a little while for herbs and lifestyle shifts to happen where you see results. So there's both and, right?
Yeah.
Depending on what you're working with. And so with first aid, we're using plants in a very acute setting where people can see results very quickly, which is really cool because it's exciting when you see that.
Yeah.
Whether that's like me.
It's like magic.
It is like magic. Plants, I mean, plants are magic.
Yeah, plants are magic.
Yeah. And so I started first aid doing like a wellness first aid space at a really, really big festival gathering where we did have medic on site. They had like their own full-on like medic style tent. But, you know, we were in relationship with them. So they would essentially, if someone came in where it wasn't like life or death or like a broken bone, they would send people to us. So we were helping with heat exhaustion and constipation and rashes or nosebleeds or a twisted ankle or, you know, something got, you know, someone got something in their eye. And so we saw over 1,000 people that weekend, extended weekend. And we give out topical medicine, like topical support, like salves and liniments and soaks, like wound wash. And then we have things.
What was the gathering?
That one was Symbiosis.
Cool.
The Symbiosis Eclipse gathering. And so we got a grant to set something like that up.
So awesome.
Yeah. And then when I got hooked there, I went back to Oakland, and my friend Lisa and I, Lisa was really approached by a nonprofit needle exchange called Punks with Lunch. And they've been around the Bay for a very long time. And they started out with just giving out bag lunches to people who were unhoused. And they approached us and asked if we would be interested in offering wound care for people because they were a needle exchange. They were in working with unhoused communities. They were seeing a lot of festering wounds and people asking for support outside of just the modern medical system. And so, yeah, her and I just had a table and some herbs and some tea and just kind of played it by ear in the sense of just like showing up and seeing what was needed and asked for and then just kind of shifting our protocols and what we were bringing to better support the people who we were
That's so amazing.
Yeah, it was really, it was intense on a lot of different levels. And, but it was a really cool learning experience. And again, seeing these wounds that are like open and festering and realizing, okay, like, how are you going to offer care? And you might not see this person ever again,
right?
You know that they are probably going to still be using substances. Mainly we were seeing people with wounds from IV use. And also like, okay, these people, a lot of these people are unhoused. Like, what about water? What about, you know, quote unquote sanitation as much as possible? And really having to factor that in into our protocols in the way that we discussed maintenance to people, right? Like, it's very different talking about wound care when you have a house and a sink and clean water and, you know, enough food to survive. Where that was very different in these instances. And it was a very humbling experience. And I think for me personally, I didn't realize how much I gained in the world of compassion around substance use. I come from a family where there was a lot of substance use. And, you know, a lot comes with that. And a lot of resentment and anger and just being around people one-on-one and just humanizing them a lot more and just understanding their stories. If they did share their stories, it just kind of made me see a different part of society where I'm like, yeah, it just shifted that for me. So I was able to work with my own self and my own stuff with anger and resentment towards people that I loved, and really did kind of come at this, you know, finding these ways of like what I call compassionate harm reduction. So it's like, we don't need to alienate these people. Like I want to offer care and support in any way that someone's asking, and I don't need to place judgment or my opinions or thoughts around like their lifestyle, which is very much ingrained in our society.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's really prevalent all across the West Coast. It's a big thing.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And so, with herbs, they work very fast, and we use a lot of different preparations depending on the wound, and we can see great results very quickly.
Awesome. That's so amazing.
Yeah, it's really
cool.
What
a journey you've been on.
Yeah. I mean, like, I knew you were cool, but I didn't know you did so many things.
Taylor.
Fascinating.
We can only get so much out in, like, a 1 or 2 hour haircut session, right? Like,
so good. So you're cool. So smart, too. I just love
I appreciate that.
Okay, I have a couple questions because I want to keep us, like, on track. Mm-hmm. But, please. How can someone, so a lot of our listeners maybe don't live on the West Coast or somewhere that there's as much access to these things. And so what is a way to make it more approachable for someone out there anywhere in America or anywhere in the world? And then just like little thing, because it can also be a little overwhelming. There's so much information. So it's like, how to make that more bite-sized, I guess.
Yeah, totally. That is a great question, because I think, part of this can be social media, but part of this can just be this like narrative of like herbalism is very like clean and beautiful and like visually stunning. And like, a lot of times it's like very white centric, and it's like herbalism started in the house. Herbalism started in the kitchen. And every single ancestral line that either you're a part of or that exists have worked with herbs medicinally through many different avenues. So even if you don't know your history line or your background of where you came from, it exists. And so I think really just being real and being like starting with your herb spice cabinet or your spice cabinet. You know, I think people don't even think about how amazing rosemary is, or cinnamon, or ginger, or garlic, or onion, you know, and fire cider is, I feel like, such a poster child of kitchen medicine, because you literally go to the grocery store and get the things you need, and you make this amazing preparation that is so good for what, for just general immune wellness, let's say. Without getting too heady, but you use it during the the cold and flu months a lot of the times, and we're very disconnected from food as medicine. I know I was, right?
Yeah.
So it's absolutely. Like people think they need to have an herb store. People think they need to live in this big bustling city, and it's like, no, just go to your grocery store.
What do you already have too?
Exactly.
Like, what's in your cupboard?
Exactly. And you don't need a huge garden to grow herbs. Like, you can literally have one pot on your counter or in your windowsill or on your stairs leading up to your house or wherever, where it can produce so much medicine that you can start forming those relationships with those plants that you're growing. And so I think trying to pare it down as much as possible can be very digestible for someone that is feeling like they're excited and curious about it, but maybe standoffish, like, well, I don't look this way, or I'm not in a big city, or I don't have the language around it yet. That can be discouraging. And so, get in your spice cabinet and play around. And it's like, you can find chamomile tea bags pretty much anywhere a grocery store is. Right. And so,
What is fire cider? And can you give us a little bit, like, just give us a little quick and dirty recipe that somebody can maybe try at home.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
If they hear this.
Yeah. So
love that.
Yeah. Fire cider was coined by Rosemary Gladstar, which is a woman who's been in the herbal game for a very long time. You can Google her, Rosemary Gladstar. And so this brew was kind of cultivated in the 80s, but essentially it is something that's very antimicrobial, so can kind of ward off bacterial, viral, and fungal infections. It's very warming to the body. It can also help you sweat to help break a fever if you do get sick. And a lot of times your recovery process, so when you do get sick, can speed up. So there isn't like a magic herb that you can take once you're sick and then tomorrow you wake up and you're like, mm-hmm. Oh, I'm fully better, but just your way of healing is a little faster. And so fire cider consists of like one onion, one clove of one like bundle of garlic, some sort of pepper. So that can be like cayenne pepper or jalapenos or habaneros, like Thai peppers. It can really be whatever you want it to be. And people put horseradish and lemon and oregano and thyme. And all of it shifts a little bit. Everyone has their own mm-hmm. variety and flavor of fire cider. But you would essentially chop those up, put them in a jar, and fill it to the top with apple cider vinegar, which you can also find at the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would let that sit for 2 to 4 weeks. And then when that's finished, you can strain out all of those herbs and foods. And then you have this infused drink. And so some people will put honey in it.
Yeah.
Because it is very fiery and hot and spicy. Some people love that, but some people want to maybe
sour.
Yeah, sour, very pungent. Mm-hmm. So you can add honey to mitigate that kind of fiery sensation in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would just, yeah, you could take it daily as a preventative. You can also just up that dose and take it if you feel like a little sickness coming on, or you feel mm-hmm. like your throat getting a little scratchy. And
I need to take mine.
Yeah, right?
Okay, I haven't been drinking mine because my acupuncturist told me to stop doing spicy stuff because mm-hmm. I have eczema.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm like, should I not be doing the fire cider because of the spiciness? Not just kind of sitting there.
Sometimes that can flare up already hot, agitated environments, which a lot of times skin rashes tend to be. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, like, you know, I'm not giving advice per se. So mm-hmm. check in with your doctor, y'all, or your primary care physician. But what was I going to say? But yeah, there are things that we want to be careful, like breastfeeding or pregnancy. You want to tread a little lightly with certain herbs. And yeah, if it exacerbates an ailment that you already have, it probably isn't the best support mm-hmm. for you. But in regards to talking about access, that is a very accessible, easy medicine that you can, herbal medicine mm-hmm. that you can make at home and start kind of trying to integrate that into your lifestyle and kind of, mm-hmm. start that journey.
What about the popular one is just like honey and garlic?
Yeah.
Just like letting that kind of marinate.
Yes. Fermented garlic honey.
Mm-hmm.
So peeling garlic and smashing it a little bit to release its aromatics. And then you just put it as much as you want in a jar, fill it with honey about, 2 to 3 to 4 inches above the garlic, and the garlic will ferment in it, and you can kind of open the cap of your jar every couple of days to release that air. And a lot of the juice from the garlic will seep out, will infuse it into the honey. The honey becomes liquefied. And so you can either just eat that garlic out of the jar. You can add the honey to your tea, or you can add those to foods or dips or drinks or things like that. And again, very easy, right? We all know how to mm-hmm. chop and peel garlic.
Yeah. Okay, now I'm just looking for free medical advice. my baby got her first ear infection, mm-hmm. and I did do the antibiotics,
mm-hmm.
but I don't want to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And also, she was just like shitting so much when she like from them, and it's just like really stressful. And so, what is maybe something that I could do from home that would help with an ear infection?
Yeah. So with kids, it's tricky because the way that our ear inner ear tubes are situated when we're young, which is really common for babies and kids to get ear infections or like chronic ear infections, because the way the tubes are like situated, and we essentially ideally grow out of that as our tubes like mature and they like, they kind of shift in, in like size and like dips and things like that. So it causes less infection. But for a baby, you can infuse garlic into like an olive oil, let that sit. And then you can do one drop just down the ear and kind of massage it down the, just have, if you can, the baby looks very small and movable, but if you could get them to lay with the ear that's infected or irritating up, and then doing one drop of that garlic infused oil in the ear cavity, and then just kind of massage it in and around the ear and try to kind of move that down the ear canal. Garlic is very, very, very antibacterial. Very antibacterial.
I fucking love garlic.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we, most of us eat it and are in things and meals. Mm-hmm. And so we're very much accustomed to what garlic is for the most part. And yeah, there's a really cool medicinal benefit to it as well.
So cool.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's the questions.
I think, is there anything else that you would like to speak about your journey or herbalism or anything that you're doing before we start to lead into the wrap up?
Yeah, I think the more people with the curiosity and the curiosity around plants, I think we can very much empower ourselves to heal ourselves and not look to someone to give us answers all the time. Mm-hmm. I am an herbalist that is pro modern medicine and modern care. I just think it's very overprescribed and also has a very narrow lens in which they really do beautiful things, right? Like my father would have not survived as long as he had if we didn't have the ICU and modern care. And I'm very grateful for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you break a bone, don't come to me. Like, go get it assessed and like maybe put back in place, and then I can help you with the aftercare.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are times where the medical system and pharmaceutical medicine really do shine. Again, I think it's being used as a crutch and not actually talking about a larger picture. And so if we as people in this society feel empowered to know that garlic is super medicinal, and maybe trying to lean on that before needing to seek medical advice or just getting an appointment at the doctor's office is hard. A lot of people don't, including myself, don't have health insurance. Like I'm going to have to pay major out of pocket.
Yeah.
So it's like the more that we can understand herbal medicine and really start cultivating relationships within ourselves, I think that will just innately bring a better, healthier society. And you can do that through, growing plants, using a tincture, using a flower essence, looking at herbal blogs, going to a workshop, going to a class and just start learning. It doesn't have to be just one way. And so I just really encourage people to, if there is curiosity there, don't hesitate. The more you do, the better there is, the better and deeper the understanding comes from it. And I think people can feel like not really sure what to do, how to start. And there isn't a way to just start. You just do it, right? Go buy the garlic, go look up a recipe for fire cider and actually make it in your kitchen. And I just encourage people to do that.
Is there like a good company or herbal school that you would recommend that offers like some beautiful free information, but also like has classes that you can take that is accessible to people who maybe are just overwhelmed by like who to trust?
Yeah, totally. One of the first people that comes to, not people, but a project that comes to mind is called Herb Rally, H-E-R-B-R-A-L-L-Y. And they are community source, like information hub on the internet. So they have plant monographs. They have really cool, like a really cool email list. They send out events. And so that could be a cool place to start. You can also just see if you have a local herb shop or local herbalist in your area offering, you know, apothecary support, like, so like making their own different types of medicines or, or offering classes or herb walks. And then, yeah, looking at books, right? So like Rosemary Gladstar is a really comprehensive, I mean, she's made many books, but very comprehensive, digestible information. And she has so many different books that there's like a variety. So depending on kind of which ones calls to you, she has information books.
I wonder if I have any of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a bunch of random things that like kitchen witchy books that I've bought, but I don't ever look at the author.
Rosemary Gladstar is kind of like a household name. So again, if someone's very
heard that name.
Yeah, so those are just some quick places you could take a peek and go down the wormhole of herbal information.
Yeah, I feel like
so good.
Like I've done a lot of research. I've taken some classes through Herbal Academy, which for me was like really helpful as just someone wanting to learn a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I personally recommend them as another place and a good resource. But
yeah, they have
I think
great
it can be so overwhelming and like, you know, you also want to be careful with herbs too.
Yeah.
So finding out where to go and good trusted resources, I think are really important. So thank you for sharing things that you go to.
Absolutely. Yeah. And yeah, if anyone has questions listening to this, they can always reach out to me as well.
Thank you.
Where would they find you?
Where could they find me? So I have a company called, or a small business called Wildkin Botanicals. And so wildkinbotanicals.com is my website. My Instagram handle is _wildkin. And so I would say those are the two kind of active places. I have some blogs on my website and I do offer classes from time to time. And I also see clients. So if someone's interested in just starting that process or maybe just wanting to get some questions answered, I can be hired by the minute. So if you don't want like a 2-hour session, you just want some streamlined information, that would take up more than a, you know, general email. Yeah, I think it's pretty accessible.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay.
We do the card first.
I think we always get confused here if we do card or questions first.
I mean, it's been almost 2 years.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. We could do whatever we want.
Let's do it. I know the cards are coming out.
What do we do? Who's our boss?
Who do you ask the questions to?
I'm gonna do the Radiant Wilds Atlas. The Radiant Wilds, sorry, Tarot. Just because they're really pretty and I feel like
I'm obsessed with this deck.
I'm just gonna pull that card. It's strength. I'm gonna read from the book because I really like the way that this author writes everything. Give me a second.
It's a really pretty card. Yes. It's like a red
Roman numerals.
I think most of us are. It's like a really beautiful desert scene, and like the desert dirt is a beautiful red color. There's a big sun and lots of saguaro cactus, and then a woman like dancing, hand on the earth, and also reaching for the sun. It's very beautiful.
Oh my god. Okay. Strength. I soften into the cosmos. The qualities of real strength are inside you. You know that this type of power is never aggressive but comes from a place of internal calm. Even in difficult situations, you're in alignment with the inherent compassion and universal love that permeates you. Continue to bow to higher states of consciousness and let them inform your actions. lift others up by exemplifying that no one has put their powers on forceful display for them to be impactful.
Hmm.
Furthermore, this card encourages you to approach any inner and outer battles by softening into them. To loosen your grip takes courage, which you possess. Rather than pushing against the winds of the world, let them move and reshape you. Surrender to the universe, for you are an essential grain in its intricate pattern. And then there's a little radiance tip at the end, and it says, relax into child's pose or any physical posture in which you can surrender to your breath for some moments.
Mm.
Great advice.
Great advice.
I love that.
Thank you.
Thank you for our card. Mm-hmm. And we love to ask our guests two questions at the end of each episode. And our first question is, what is something that you do for self-care that you just cannot live without?
Oof. I mean, being in nature is just, I feel like, inherently in my being. But I would say a morning practice of, which sounds so silly and so simple, but like making a brew in the morning and just having that quiet time before my day actually gets started.
Mm-hmm.
And so that could look like coffee. That could look like a chai. That could look like a smoothie. Like whatever I want in the morning, I change it like literally every day depending on how I wake up and what I'm feeling. But having that like quiet time to just like make my brew, sit for a second, look out the window, pet my cat, and that really does start my day like so grounded, and it really will shift how I show up in the world on a day-to-day basis.
Amazing.
I love that. And simple really is always the best.
Yeah, I can't do that right now.
Well, oh yeah, okay. Well, I'm on no baby right now, so.
But that sounds so nice for you.
Yeah. I'll do it for us, okay, Taylor?
Thank you, Dana. I'm like, okay, chaos over here.
Yeah, waking up.
If you could tell your younger self one thing, that could be all the way to your earliest memory and as early or as far as yesterday, what would it be? I said that really weird, but you know what I mean.
Can you, what would you tell your younger self?
Yeah.
I would probably say speak and live your truth.
Ooh,
yeah.
Yes.
To just be authentic in yourself and do it in a way that feels most grounded and empowering to you and not care what people have to say about it, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, 100%. That's like the best advice.
Yeah, like you are not, it's none of your business what people think about you, you know?
Yes.
Like it's
and most
truly
of the time they're not thinking about you anyways.
Totally. So yeah, speak your truth, live your truth. Yeah. Also, like, you know, as cheesy as it sounds, like radiate love. Like try to come from a place of love and understanding, or trying to understand, because I think there's a lot of divisiveness, and it's very easy to be mean, and it's very hard to truly care.
I agree.
Coming from someone who's sharp on the tongue. So I'm not perfect, but just making that, trying to make that a practice.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah.
I'll do that too.
I love that.
All right.
Awesome.
What do you think, Amber?
Well, this is the part where we tell our listeners how to go take care of themselves. And today, there's something that I do almost daily, be it both in the morning and at night when I come home from work, or at least once a day. I personally love to just go sit out in my garden and like connect with the plants and look at the sky and the trees and like try to leave my phone down for at least 5 to 10 minutes and just take some breaths and silence, be with yourself and the plants. What would you do, Taylor?
I think try a new herb, whether it's just something you can sprinkle on your pasta or your omelet, or if it's a new herb you've been curious about and you want to brew it into a tea.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Beautiful.
What about you, Dana?
Oh, me too. Okay. I would say get outside as much as possible. Even if that just means like drinking your cup of coffee or whatever outside, or before you go to sleep, try to put your feet on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My favorite.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, awesome. Thank you so much for your time. Thank I know you. It's valuable and you are a busy lady, but this was amazing.
Yeah, we're
and
we're very
so
grateful.
Thank
so
you for fun. The invite. Thank you.
This episode has been produced by my husband, Curtis Burgess.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at
Waking Up the Witch. And if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please email us at wakingupthewitch@gmail.com.
And don't forget to head over to the link in our bio on Instagram for all the ways to connect with both Amber and Taylor. And go to moonbeeswellness.com for all your self-care and witchy needs. We love you. Bye.
Bye.
Ow. Ow.